Everybody.
Good morning.
Hope everybody's doing well.
Oh yeah.
You know, this month we're talking about communication. I watch a lot of different things, and it's talking about the rapture. You know, the word rapture is not necessarily in the Bible. You know, it's in the Left Behind books, and so you know, a lot of people go for that and everything. A lot of people, you know, believe like, oh, the rapture. You know, it was a great selling book, great movie, and everything, but it's not in the Bible. But anyway. A lot of people, you know, got caught up in that, and you understand what they're referencing to about, you know, Jesus coming back all the end. But a mother one time, she sent an email to her son with all her bank account information, information of her house and deed and everything, and say, hey, you know, I'm sending this to you because I'm prepared for when the Lord come back, prepared for the rapture, and you know, like that. And the son just looked at that and felt kind of curious, like, so you're sending me what? He said, yeah, I'm giving you all my information so when the rapture happens. And so the son replied to the mother, well, what do you think about me? Should I not? I mean, what are you saying about me? So, you know, sometimes how you communicate, it doesn't come across quite well. But the son was a little offended, like, you trying to say I'm going to be left behind? You know, so, man, so we can do that and be kind of, you know, judgmental sometimes without getting to know people. But we need to put the work in and put the time and effort in, guys. We're going to be over in... Colossians 4:6, communication. Love God. Our Father's always communicating to us, and over time, and it's up for us to learn and to grapple and to be able to connect. Colossians 4:6. That's right. Say, Sydney, speak clear. Speak clear. Yeah, Sydney. There you go. Amen. Amen. All right, guys, so share a couple of thoughts here with you. You know, God communicates so much in the Bible. I was listening to a thing this morning about Noah. And one of the great things about listening is about how God communicated 120 years about that he was going to flood the earth. 120 years. Of course, I'd be getting to thinking, like, how many days... How many hours? But he just communicated so long. But sometimes when you communicate with people, people just don't want to hear you.
That's right.
You know, we've gone through an era where we say, if somebody talk to you and you don't like what they're saying, you say what? Talk to the what? The hand. It's just who we are. We're like, I don't care what you communicate. I don't want to hear it, you know. We're turn our head the other way. We'll walk away. Just, it's us. You know, but I thought about it when the guy said, I was like, there's so much grace in that. 120 years of grace. 120 years of grace. We always like to say, oh, the Old Testament was just so hard and God was just so this and that. But I think as you mature, you look in the scripture and you begin to look and you look from the point of what is grace, I look like, man, God spent a lot of time with these people, years after years, giving them opportunity.
Yeah.
But a lot of times when God communicated his grace to them, it wasn't what they wanted to hear. You know, it is simply not enough to walk wisely and carefully among unbelievers and believers. We must talk with them in the right tone, with the right context, and with genuine love and respect.
Amen.
You know, we need to make sure that our speech is controlled by grace so that our conversation points unbelievers and believers to Christ and it glorifies the Father. A speech controlled by grace creates a platform for love, hope, faith, in God's truth to be introduced into our conversation.
Right.
Healthy conversations happen when people feel safe enough to discuss the undiscussable.
That's right.
And we all have some things we feel like, that's just undiscussable. Yep. That's off the table. We could talk about anything else, but this is not coming from up under the table to be on top of the table to be talked about. We feel that way. But you know, God is like, you know, grace. If we display grace just in the way we communicate with our body language, with the way we look with our eyes, our tone and everything, you'll be surprised. People might be like, I think I'm ready to share this with you. Hold on. I don't think I'm ready to put this on the table because I feel like, man, you're going to help me. You're not going to condemn me. You're going to help me. You're not going to judge me to death.
Amen.
You're going to love me and hold me accountable. You're going to show me the best way that you think is good. And you're not going to look at me with the side eye.
No.
You know, communication begins with grace. It just does. You know, the ability to communicate without offering hateful or undesirable response is the ability to communicate with grace.
Amen.
You know, when we communicate, you know, we need to take time to challenge each other's views, you know, because we all have some different type of views on things. Sometimes our views are in line and sometimes it's not. One of the most obvious moments when our views are not in tune with one another when it comes to football season, I notice. Depending on what team you like. You know, like, hey, you know, hey, I love you, but hey, I don't think your team's all that, you know. Sports does that to us. But it's all in fun, you know. And then there's that serious person like, okay, you can't come to the party. You take it too serious, man. You're flipping over the chips and everything. I can't have you here, you know. But sports, it brings that about out of us, you know. But we need to challenge each other's views to get a clear understanding of what people are saying. You know, because you say something, and I love this, a couple of sayings. What you said and what I heard can be two different things.
Yes.
I am guilty of that. Man, what did I just hear? And it's not what the individual said. You know, and if you're not listening clearly or you didn't catch it clearly, you would just go into assuming like, oh no, they don't know what they're talking about. You know, challenging the other's views helps us to grow. Help us to get to know one another. Help us to build a friendship and a relationship that says, man, I feel safe with you. You know, we need to think together to determine a way forward in this life.
That's right.
To have healthy conversations, your speech must be controlled by grace. You know, over in Colossians 4:6, one of the ways, let me get over here myself, I'm just talking around me, over in Ephesians. There we go. In Colossians 4:6, actually, let me start from verse 2. Colossians 4, chapter 2, it says, devote yourself to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of God for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. He's talking about communication. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversations be always full of grace, seasoned with some salt, so that you may know how to answer everyone. I love this particular instruction. I love how the Holy Spirit filled Paul to just share this as he's writing to the church in Colossians, but it applies to us today. You know, our conversation needs to be seasoned with salt.
Yes.
You know, but too much salt can overwhelm you. Me and Sharice went to the movies on Friday night, and I'm telling you, you know, when you're younger, you got to enjoy that. Popcorn is good, ain't it?
Yeah.
That salt in that popcorn was burning my lip on Friday night. I said, what is this? It's popcorn. It's salt. But, you know, salt is good. And of course, they had more salt on the table that you could pour in the popcorn. I'm thinking like, how much salt does this popcorn really need? But for some people, depending on what age and what stage of life you're in, you feel like it's not enough salt. You know, when you get a little older, you feel like, that's all the salt I can stand. It's the same thing with sugar. Depending on what age you are, you're like, there's just not enough sugar, man. I know I got Frosted Flake, but I want to add some more sugar in my Frosted Flakes, you know? But you get age, you're like, you know what, a good old bowl of Bran Flakes with nothing on it sounds good to me, and some almond milk. And somebody like, what? You know, my adult kid's like, can you please just buy some regular milk? I'll pay you this, I will give you the money, just buy some regular milk. But, you know, Paul talks about how our conversation needs to be. Salt adds flavor to a lot of things. It makes food better. It just makes it better. Especially if you know what you're doing with the salt. If you don't know what you're doing with the salt, just make my rice plain and I'll put my salt on afterwards, you know. But knowing what you do with the salt, you know. But, you know, we want to talk about, first point is grace-filled speech. In order to communicate with somebody, your speech needs to be filled with grace. When you open your mouth to talk, is it filled with grace? The facts and the truth are going to come, but you want to make sure that they are led by grace.
Right.
Grace can encourage and help that person receive the truth a lot better. They will receive your message a lot better. You know, we all get bills in the mail, don't we?
Yep. Oh, no.
Bills are inevitable. they will come. Even if you don't create no other bill, guess what? If you want some lights, you're going to get a bill. If you want some clean water, whether you get it from the city or whoever, you're going to go buy water from the store. There's a bill. But you know, it's great when somebody tries to make your bill a little more pleasant to receive. I want to show a video here real quick for you guys to see.
Sometimes the smallest gestures can have the biggest impact on someone else's life. CBS's Steve Hartman found such a story on the road.
A few years ago, Melody Morrow of New York City hurt her foot and needed physical therapy. But she says what really made her feel better was paying the bills.
You asked for a receipt.
Correct.
And it comes in the mail.
Correct.
And what was special about it?
On the envelope, on the front of the envelope, it had these little music notes.
Her name is Melody, but this is a big health system. Personal touches on billing statements aren't typically their thing.
And then it began.
Every month thereafter, her payment receipt arrived in the mail. And every month, a new drawing. They started out simple, like this tremolo clef. But as the months progressed, the envelopes got more and more elaborate. And this was original art, created anonymously just for her.
Oh my. It's hard to even describe. It was incredible.
Melody did call her provider, MJHS Health System,
and asked if by chance there was anyone in the billing department who was artistic. She says the phone got quiet, and then she heard, "Hey, Emily, it's for you."
Oh, what I do now?
What were you hoping was going to come from this?
I like to make people happy.
Accounting clerk Emily Margolis is hardly a frontline caregiver, but she says she can still make people better, and her drawings are her way. Melody was so grateful, Emily decided to ramp up her game even further. She began taking Melody's mailings home at night and spent hours turning those plain white business envelopes into masterpieces.
Oh my goodness.
And I started adding rhinestones. I know, I got involved with the gold and that was fine. I've never done that before. Yeah.
Where was this going to stop?
I know how much he had left to pay.
This was the last mailing.
Oh my God.
But not the end of the story. Melody and Emily became friends and are now co-curators of an exhibit at this Manhattan coffee shop, showcasing Emily's enveloping creations.
Wow.
Although Melody says what's really on display here is the healing power of kindness.
Wow. This was a stranger, and she was doing that just for me. And that's the beauty of it.
A note of harmony. Steve Hartman, on Zoom.
Communication.
Yes.
Wow. That would make me want to pay my bill too. You know, the bill comes due. He said, how long are you planning to do this? I knew how much she had to pay. But you know, the fact that she went her way to communicate all these drawings, she says, wanted to make her happy. What about your communication with other people?
Wow.
Even if it's in the truth. Do you communicate to make them happy?
Yes, come on.
You don't want to lie, do something, you know, out the way, but it's like, man, I just want to serve you. Just want to see you happy. I want to communicate. Grace is powerful. Grace is a powerful speech. How we communicate is powerful. And it can change people's lives forever. People's lives forever. A grace-filled speech is the beginning of building a friendship. Your speech to always minister grace to another soul. Be direct with one another, but allow grace to lead the way. Speak to one another with truth. Speaking to one another with truth is God's ideal for our conversation. But also, speaking to one another in grace is God's ideal for loving one another. You know, I love this thing that she did. I was like, man, I was so moved. Like, I wish somebody would draw an envelope for me when they send me my bill.
Yeah.
No, all they do is they stick an envelope and say, hey, please return the money as soon as possible, 30, 90 days. But her example of going out of her way, taking the envelope home, just to make sure, that this lady has a pleasant day every time she receives a bill. What about you? How's your communication? Do you want to make sure that when you get through speaking with somebody that you leave them that you want to make sure they have a pleasant day when they get through talking with you? Do they feel love? Do they feel appreciated? Do they feel like, wow, I feel happy. I felt like they went out of their way to make me happy in their conversation with me. Turn with me to Ephesians 4:29. Let's talk about our speech must be pure. So we talk about we need to have a grace-filled speech. But you know what? Our speech needs to be pure. Ephesians chapter 4, 29. Long before we were all disciples, we can tell you some of us have some foul mouths.
Yep. Oh, don't you go.
And I'm going to tell you, Dial soap probably wasn't going to do it. We would probably say, I need a whole bunch of scented soap. But God's grace is amazing that he tolerated that from each of us, and he still tolerated from other people out there who have no idea that they're on the wrong side. But I remember thinking growing up, you know, thinking I'm hip with my friends, using all kind of improper language and everything, and saying all kind of things. But I remember I could get around my parents and I could cut that thing off like a faucet. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was then that, you know, later on I realized you have the ability to change how you speak. Mm-hmm. Because if you can go talk with your friends a certain way and get around your mom or dad, whoever it is, and you're like, oh, the language is cleaned up. I mean, just that instant, God making it clear, you have the ability to change how you talk and everything. You know, over here in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29, Paul is addressing this whole letter about just how we should live as a Christian. But in verse 29, he focuses on how we talk. He says, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, that it may benefit those who listen. Mm-hmm. Our speech must be pure. Why? Because our speech is meant to build people up, not tear them down. And I tell you, I regret the life I knew before of how I used my speech to tear people down. But I'm so grateful for God giving me an example of grace and his patience with me, that now he allows me to use my speech, my tongue, to build people up and lift them up. You know, I love the song that we sing. It says, I don't walk the walk that I used to walk. I don't talk the talk that I used to talk, and I don't sing the songs that I used to. That is so true, because when you invest yourself in God's word and God's way, when you hear certain songs, yeah, the music may get you, but then you realize, I can't believe I listened to that song. You hear the words they saying, oh my goodness. And now when you hear a good song with a nice beat, like, oh, this is a nice beat, and they start singing like, oh, it'll mess the song up, man. I can't even listen to the song because it's going to alter how I think. And when that thing gets in your mind, you're like, oh, now I got to try to, you know, control this word that shouldn't be there. Control this thought that shouldn't be there. I got to fight to be pure. You know, in Matthew 15, 18, don't turn there, but Jesus addressed this also about, you know, he says, what comes off the lip comes from where? The heart. Things that you take in, it affects your inside. It affects your heart. Mm-hmm. It just does. It affects your heart. You know, me and my wife, we went and saw the movie Equalizer 3. And it was a good movie. But I thought about back in the days when I was coming up through the kingdom, they tell you don't go watch certain movies. Mm-hmm. I remember those days, like, do not go watch the movies. They will corrupt you. And a lot of people are like, we're not going to watch those movies. And, you know, but you get older, like, well, that's free. Let me go see a movie. I go see. I was like, oh, my goodness. And I told my wife, I said, this was a horror movie. I said, it was good, but it was, I felt it was a more darker movie. It's like, wow. You know, Denzel just popping up out of nowhere like he's chasing somebody in the curtains and everything. It's darker. But I thought, things like that can fill people hard, and that's what makes you impure, those type of things. Even if you say it's just entertainment, it can make you impure, you know. You know, the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. got to realize that, you know. So how do we shape the heart into being godly so that it can produce words that will build others up? It's all about what? It's all about what you're taking in.
Yep.
It's all about what you're taking in. It's all about what you are absorbing in. You know, the things that you take in are what shape you. It just does. The mouth and heart, they are connected. We need to realize that. Change the heart and you change the speech.
Yeah, that's right.
Change the heart and you change the speech.
Absolutely.
Change the mindset and you change the speech. But you have to want to do that so that your speech can be pure. I think about Saul in the Bible. Before Saul became Paul, Saul was what? A murderous, breathing person, breathing threats to who? Disciples. That's who Paul was doing. That's what Paul did. But after Jesus stepped in and he had an encounter with Jesus, Paul had a decision to make.
Yep.
He could go on still being who he was, blind and breathing murderous threats to disciples, or he could change and become an advocate for Christ and an advocate for those who follow Christ. And Paul did that. He decided to become an advocate for Christ. And when he became an advocate for Christ, he changed his mind and he changed his heart. And his speech became pure.
Yep.
Not only to the believers, but to those who needed to know God himself. How is your encounter with Christ?
Come on.
Has Christ had that same impact or effect on you that he had on Paul that day? Has it prompted you to say, I need to change my heart and I need to change my mind? Because the things that come from my mouth can either build people up or I can tear them down. Which one do I want it to be? You know, to speak with a pure heart to one another, there must be a change of heart. You need to decide if you're going to change your heart or you're going to stay the same. Finally, guys, Matthew 6:22, we're going to close up here. So we're talking about, you know, in order to communicate clearly, your speech needs to be filled with grace. In order to communicate with people, your speech needs to be pure. You need to change your heart, change your mind. But in order to do that, one of the many steps that God makes clear and provides for us in Matthew 6, chapter 6, verse 22, talks about our eyes for those of us who can see. But I also believe this applies to our ear. And in verse 22, Jesus says, the eyes is the lamp of the body.
That's right.
If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? That blows me away. It's like whatever the eyes see, but I also thought about whatever the ears hear. Man, that is what's going on in your body. We want to absorb the right things. We want to absorb the right things. To absorb the wrong things is harmful. Like for instance, we need to absorb more vegetables in our body, don't we?
Yeah.
But you know what, a lot of us will dispute that and say, hold on, you got to talk to the hand on that one there.
you know,
because if you put us all in a room and say, okay, look, here's what's healthy for you. Here's what's not healthy for you. We can give you a choice. You can have vegetables for dinner, or you can have some fried chicken. You know where you go? Then I heard somebody say they're going to vegetables. We're like, I don't know. That's questionable. You can't have them together. You got to have a choice. Somebody said, well, you can have some barbecue for dinner, or you can have strictly vegetables.
Can they be fried?
See? We're going to see? We try to make it great. But that's how we were like, wait a minute. You know, but this is, it's healthy for us because barbecue tastes good. Well, they say, no, vegetables are healthy for you, even though they don't taste as great, but they are healthy for you. It's all about what you're willing to absorb.
Right.
We see a lot of things in the world. We hear a lot of things in the world. A lot of things that are not good for us, we got to say, hey, you get the hand. You do not get to enter into my ears or get to go into my eyes. I will ignore it and turn away from that. And all the things that are good for us, people say, I need to embrace this. Even though I'm having a hard time digesting what is good for me, I need to embrace this because this is going to benefit me. Or as one of the things I have been saying lately, my soul will thank me for this later on. It just will. Your soul will thank you for this later on. You know, nutrients are good for you. That's the word of God, prayer, great fellowship with the right people. Vitamin D from the sun is very good for you. You need vitamin D in your body. Water that is undiluted. Oh, it's amazing for you. You need it. Spending time with people whose speech are pure, whose speech is full of grace, that's good for you. It's needed. You know, to communicate effectively to one another or with one another, let your speech be filled with grace. Change your heart by surrendering to Christ. Your soul will thank you for it. And the words that roll off of your lips will reflect change. Amen. Just like we are encouraged to watch what we eat, protect your body, let me encourage you to be careful what your eyes and ears absorb. Absorb the right thing so that your speech will be a welcome sight and sound to those who will see and hear what you have to say.
Amen.
Learn to communicate with grace, let your communication be pure, and be sure to absorb the right things in life. Thank you guys so much. Amen.